Yeah, 2002, 2020.
2020.
Okay, we can start our puja now. I think it's almost 8:10. So Sui An nominate two to help light the candle and the incense. Tiêu Chính Giao là cái lê hong à? Ah, Chính Giao cái lê hong. Yeah, Chính Giao cái lê hong à? Yeah. See you. From Australia, Jega, New Zealand. Wow. Bepai ya. Oh. Lu kan je cruise ah. Kui kui teng chung bu tan lo sa du sa du sa du. Sa du sa du sa du. Lai lai lai. Sa du sa du sa du. 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 Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Wow! From India one. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Bring in front, yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Oh, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu, sadhu. Okay, y'all can be seated. So today is the 20th February, yeah? 2020. Thursday class. We are back at Sui An's house. So let us compose our mind, develop our faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakata bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato saukasango sanghang namami. Okay, turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the vandana onward. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami kamesu. Oh sorry. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we are chanda padipa puja. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganda sguno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe jemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena matena ca hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatai ati vinasabhavang adivase tunobante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pali parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang adiwase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cooses and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Gem. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Object of meditation or your heartbeat, or anything. You just allow it to be just aware, finish. No need to know anything. Then let the mind just silent and quiet down or settle down on its own. Yeah? That is the fastest way to develop the silent mind. Mm. But you are used to certain type of training that you have already developed before, you can also continue with whatever you are doing. Some may use object of meditation, yeah? Like rising and falling of the abdomen, or anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, or even whatever skillful means, chanting or dynamic meditation, or any type of technique that you are familiar with, you can use them. But always remember, the main purpose is just to train your mind, to anchor it in sati, so that your mind is with the object of meditation. Nothing more than that. So what you need to do, if you are doing that, you should continue to relax, maintain awareness, maintain that mindfulness until your mind becomes very, very quiet. Then as you quiet down your mind, you may experience the various type of mind state, meditative mind state. Initially, you can sense the mind becoming more quiet, more peaceful, and calm. Then you may experience a type of joy. They call it spiritual joy or meditative joy. The Buddha called it piti. So when piti arises, just relax into it and allow it to be. So if you continue to let it develop, it will become more and more refined, more and more quiet, until this piti transforms. Then you will feel a different type of bliss. They call it sukhang, blissfulness of mind. The mind becomes like very blissful. During that time, your breath becomes longer. Then you just continue to relax into it and allow the mindfulness to continue until your mind becomes very quiet, very still. No more movement or hardly any movement. So when you reach that stage, it means your mind is already trained. It has already reached its natural state of quietness, peacefulness, or stillness. So you continue to relax into it, silent everything, and don't move. Let the mind enter sati. That is the main concern. Apart from that, don't try to know, don't do anything else. Let the mind settle down. Finish. That is the training that you need. Then after that, use that silent mind that is very quiet, very peaceful, and very still to develop the meditation, to understand what is going on within your own forming mind. So basically, it's just so simple. No need to do anything. Then for those who still find that there's a lot of thinking or random thought, heedless thinking arising, it is because your spiritual faculties are not stable. And like the Buddha said, without the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance take over. And this mental hindrance will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. That's why you cannot meditate. So never mind. If that thing happens, let it arise. Whatever thought that arises, let it be. Don't try to suppress it, control it, or do anything. Just allow it to be. Then maintain awareness. Yeah. If you do that, you do not contribute any more thought energy to direct this thinking mind. So because of that, whatever thinking that has already arisen, they will start to slow down. It's like dissipating. The thinking will slow down, dissipate, and finally cease. So that is the fastest way to allow the heedless thinking to settle down. The other way is to use the mind sweeping method combined with metta, where you just feel relaxed, no more thinking. So if you do that through the mind sweeping method, starting with your forehead, silent everything, feel your forehead. If there is any tension, tightness or stress within, you just relax, relax and relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then you sweep it down to your eye muscle, do the same, then facial muscle. Then you radiate metta. Visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. Then when you can smile, the facial muscle will naturally relax by itself. Because for you to smile, you must be in the state of joy, happiness, without tension, without stress. That's why that radiant smile will allow your facial muscle to naturally relax. Then after that, you radiate metta. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel it. Feel the well-being and happiness within your form and mind. Then continue to relax. Then you send metta. May this body and mind of mine be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its thought process to be free from all ill will and enmity. May its mind state to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy. So if you do this, then you continue to radiate the same to all your loved ones, then to all kilometers, to all the beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, and extending it over to entire USJ or Subangjaya, then Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, then Mother Earth, then our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and all beings within the entire existent universe. You radiate the same. If you do this, it will help you to decondition your heedless thinking. Then your mind will become very calm and very quiet, because you just feel and relax, no more thinking. Then if you do it for 5 to 10 minutes, your mind will settle down. Then the heedless thinking or the mental hindrance will be temporarily kept at bay. They cannot come and disturb you. That's how you decondition your heedless thinking. Then you need to anchor this mind state to an object of meditation. So do the same. But for those who have the spiritual faculty already, you don't actually need to do all this method and technique. You just relax body and mind, maintain awareness, then let the mind settle down and become very quiet. That is how you develop the training of the mind to be at peace, to be in a state of quietness, tranquility, stillness, and just aware within. Okay, I will let you develop the meditation on your own. Then when the 30 minutes is up, I will set off the alarm. Then I will ring the bell 3 times. After that, mindfully, you can slowly come out of the meditation. Inhale slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vija carana sampano sugato loka vidu Anutaro purisa dhamma sarati sata deva Sanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Panayiko Pachyatam Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sayapatipanno Bhagavato Sāvakasāṅgho Sāmīcipatipanno Bhagavato Sāvakasāṅgho Yadidāṁ chatāri purisa yukāni Ātta purisa pugala Esa Bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgho Āhuneyo Pāhuneyo Dākheneyo Jalikaraneyo Anuttaraṁ Puṇyaketaṁ Lokāsāti Sādhu Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Tripaja. Buddhaṁ pujami. Dhammaṁ pujami. Sanghaṁ pujami. Okay, yeah, okay. せて。Then we can go to the second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. The question you can ask me regarding meditation or the teaching, and also how to apply the teaching, what you have learned, so that you know how to use it to live life, to understand life. And most important thing is to help you solve your problems, all of your problems in life, amicably, with wisdom, following the Dhamma way, so that you will have no more problem living life. Okay, you just have to raise your hand, then we'll pass you the mic. Anybody? As usual, very quiet, very shy. Okay, if you don't have any question, maybe we will go to the short notes. There were some short notes sent out for sharing. The first day, I think that short note I sent out was wrong because it was the unedited version. Then later on, I think somebody texted me, he said, how come got PDT file? Sui An texted me. Then I checked, then I realized it was the wrong file. Then I convert to PDF, but I need to go back to office the next day to send the correct version. Anyway, you open up the My Kayanamita. There are two short notes. One is the 12 January. I will go through the 12 January first. Both of these are Sunday class. I don't know what happened to the Thursday class and the Tuesday class. No short notes coming in. Now it is only manual writing. Never mind. We just let things be. Okay, outline short note for Brevetio Sunday class dated 12 January 2020. This one is based on the book The Path to Truth for Modern Day Bodhisattva Practitioner by Master Xu Chenyan, Chenyan Pastor of Ciji. I think some of you all may know Ciji, especially Christina. I think Christina used to help them, help them. Note 1. Only beings which are not enlightened struggle between good and evil in this mundane world. So this one is concerned with all the dualities. Right and wrong, good and bad, good and evil. Then because of duality, you start to have problem. Things that you like, you cling on to them. Things that you don't like or don't go your way, you feel unhappy, miserable. So this duality is a problem. But for enlightened beings, Dhamma does not give rise to duality, but give rise to wisdom and understanding. So this note 1 is very important because many people don't understand life. Then sometimes when I speak about the Dhamma, when you develop the understanding of the Dhamma, I used to say, when you have Dhamma, thing is just the way it is. No duality. No right, no wrong, no good, no bad, no good, no evil. But they will question me, Zebratio, in this world, how can you live without right and wrong, without good and evil? They have a point too. But what I'm saying is, if you have the Dhamma, then there is no duality. The reason is very simple. It's very easy to develop the understanding. The way a human being or living being perceived thing is very funny, because we are all different. Your level of understanding all different. Your belief system, your religion, your conditioning, your views, your opinion all different. So what is right and wrong? What is good and evil? These are conventional truth. Do you see that point? Conventional truth means what? These are not ultimate truth, understand not? So good according to who? Right according to who? So when you question them on this, then you will start to understand. Different people have different way of describing good and evil, right and wrong. So when society is this way, humanity is this way, means they go by conventional truth. So within the existential world, there is duality. True. That is a fact. Otherwise, you cannot live life. You cannot communicate with people also, because people are talking about duality, right and wrong, good and evil, pleasant and unpleasant sense experiences, good job, good life, bad career, then good people, evil people. But if you have the Dhamma, you look at it differently. The world is the world. Living beings are just the way they are, like the Buddha said. We have to learn to see things as they are, based on ultimate truth, the reality. So if we have this ability to see things as they are, means different people, they will have their own conditioning, views, opinion, and way of perceiving things. So if we say this is wrong, then we have to understand wrong according to him, because he says it's wrong. But to you, it may not be wrong. So most people are judgmental. No, I don't agree. What you say is right, is good. No, I don't think it's right. It's wrong. Because according to your viewpoint, it could be different. But for a person who has the Dhamma, in order to avoid argument, misunderstanding, conflict, what is the best way to answer him? You learn to see him as he is, understand? He is the way he is. With that view, the opinion, he will come to that conclusion that this is right. Then similarly, other people. So when I accept him for what he is, it's just like I used to say with the Dhamma way, you understand. Deluded people will do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Angry people, violent people do violent things. They are just the way they are. So they will perceive things according to their own views, opinion, belief system, and conditioning. So you can accept them for what they are. You are at peace. You don't need to argue. Understand? Yeah, you are right. Do you lie? You don't lie. You know, right according to him. He's still right. Yeah. But if you want to bring forth your point, then you have to say in a very nice way, applying Noble Eightfold Path. So first power factor is right view. When you have right view, when you are able to see things as they are with the Dhamma understanding, you can agree. You can be at peace with whatever situation and condition. Then you will understand. Like what the Buddha said, which is very profound. Whatever that arises in this universe, the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions is always about the law of karma. Because according to the Buddha, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So due to karmic conditioning, they develop their views, opinion, and belief system and conditioning. Sometimes it's their tradition, their belief in their tradition, their culture, their way of life. So they will behave that way. They will have their own standard of right and wrong, good and evil. Then they have their own preference. Yeah. So understanding this thing can allow you to liberate your mind, free your mind, transcend duality. And this is the Dhamma way. So this first note that I share with you is basically about how to apply the Dhamma to enable you to be at peace with all things. So I read again. Only beings who are not enlightened struggle between good and evil in this mundane world. For enlightened being, Dhamma does not give rise to duality. So now you understand this sentence. But give rise to wisdom and understanding. Then note number two. Just a few influential evil people acting negatively can bring about conflict and misunderstanding leading to war, thereby causing suffering to living beings. This one is very true. Hence, we must cultivate a pure stream of pure love and compassion born of wisdom to cleanse living beings' heart to counter such destructive force. So evil people, because of their evil tendency, the greed, hatred and delusion, they can cause a lot of disruptive negativity to the world. Especially people who can influence the masses. Just like certain leaders who are crazy and mad, they can really make the world miserable. And they can do crazy things. Because they are the way they are. When they have that type of selfish motive, thinking, they will do selfish things. They will act selfishly. Then they will threaten you. And they will put all sorts of problems on you. Not only the individual, on the nation too. Sometimes they really threaten the world. So a lot of this thing, when we understand, then we will know how to act. Otherwise it's not easy. Then in order to overcome all this, because Dhamma is such, we are actually the collective consciousness, the whole planet. Each and every living being within this planet, the summation of it is the planet's consciousness. So whether the planet will go the evil way or the wholesome way depends on how much evil beings are there and how much wholesome beings are there. Then today also I think Suyan texted me. He said, "Brother, there are so many of these people nowadays having a lot of fear over coronavirus, COVID-19. So he said, because they asked me to give a talk next Sunday at GBA. So I told them I'm free, I can. So I asked them for the topic. They say any topic. So I have to come up with a topic. So I text back to Brother Suyan. I said, I will propose this one. The essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Or understanding the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Or then Suyan say, good. Talk about coronavirus also. How to apply the Dhamma to handle such thing. Which is very true. Because nowadays a lot of people, they easily panic. Like it's a big thing, understand? But today you saw the star. He said, why must you fear and panic? For no proper reason. The statistics shows, this one is true, no, from statistics, no, not cook up with him. No. The normal flu every day killed so many thousand people. This one over so many weeks only 2,000 plus died. And most of it concentrated in Wuhan, the epicenter there. Out of Wuhan, or even all over the other places of the country or the world, the percentage that succumb is less than point something percent. So it's actually nothing to panic. But the reason why the world reacted to it, WHO reacted to it, is because this particular corona species is a new one. No vaccine yet. They don't have much understanding of this particular virus. So what they do is they find their way through the difficult way. So since Wuhan is the epicenter, luckily it was in China. I tell you, other country you cannot handle already. They can shut down a city of 18 million. No? You crazy. Half of Malaysian population. No? You go and shut down, I tell you. The society will turn hell. To feed these people also problem. Then I was told by my wife, I think they got this news. We look at CCTV, the channel 509, about China news. Now they have to go further to make sure the thing is under control and don't spread. They go to every household, take the temperature, check anybody has symptom, immediately take action. Then also, the person who has symptom will say they want to know where you go, who you mix with. So that's why they are doing a lot of things. And this type of thing, sad to say, very few countries can do it, only China can do it. They built a hospital in 10 days, fully equipped and functional. And I heard the US news channel, that guy make a very good joke. He said, look at China, they can build a facility, hospital in 10 days, fully functional. He said, I don't want to comment. He said, in America, to lay a cable take more than 10 days. Lay a cable. Who can do it? That's why you should be proud that China can do it. You see. Yeah, this is a country that is very different. But we learn. Through this, we learn. I will talk about Dhamma later. Through this, we learn. We learn to establish certain important things. Don't panic, don't fear. And now the Dhamma comes in. The Dhamma way is to have right view, right understanding, to assess the situation and do your best to help out, to protect others and protect yourself, like the Buddha said. Being mindful, being sensitive. You can help in many areas. The first thing about the Dhamma way is don't panic, don't react, don't go and create the fear, the phobia. Because all this negativity or mind state can never help you. Accept the reality that this thing has happened. Then evaluate. There are a lot of fake news also, so you have to be careful. So you have to check with people who understand. But if you use the Dhamma way, it's very easy. Don't panic. Don't create fear unnecessary. Don't send out all those fearful messages and create more confusion. Develop the wisdom, the understanding. Then when you are very sure, then you can help people. You can even help yourself first. Then your loved one, your colleague, and all those things. So what is commonly explained is true. This coronavirus is very, very frightening in the sense that it spread very fast. That is something that the world must know. And how did it spread so fast? Well, this is a new strain. Nobody really understands. But it is due to lack of hygiene and lack of proper care. That's how it can spread. And the Singapore case, just attend conference, almost very high percentage of those who attended the conference, I think there's only one guy that kena, almost half of them kena. Then the cruise ship, oh, just because of what Japan did, they want to let them to dock, quarantine them for 14 days. The number is now 600 over. Out of don't know how many thousand inside there. But there are a lot who has the resistance or the, what they call, immune system. They are not affected. So the percentage is not that high. But it spread very fast. So you must maintain hygiene. So hygiene is very simple. It seems this virus cannot survive in a hygienic condition. So washing your hand is one thing. Yeah? Cleaning up all the things that every day people go and touch on, like your doorknob, your leaf panel, all say, clean them. Then wash your hand. And washing your hand is very important. And what I was told is, the hand washer, you must buy those with alcohol. Actually, alcohol is a very natural, you call what? Sachin, in English you call what? Disinfectant. You must have alcohol. Because you go and get your blood taken, jab, what is the first thing they rub on you? Alcohol sweat. And you feel very nice, cooling. That one kill all the virus, the germ. Yeah. So they have an experiment, I think the scientists did a test. They wash with the normal one without alcohol, and the one without alcohol is like organic, no? They describe to you, no alcohol or those things, because certain religion maybe they feel that they cannot consume alcohol. But got alcohol, they also don't want to use. So they want to buy those without alcohol. And they sell to you very expensive. Yeah? This one is a natural herb, only no alcohol. But they wash. 90% of the germs still there. Didn't clear. But the one with the alcohol, almost 94% gone. So use your own understanding. Which one to buy? You make sure you buy the normal one, yeah, that has the alcohol. Or if not, you use soap. Also, it helps. Your soap also clear quite a lot. Most important thing is keep your hygiene. Then if you got cold, got flu, like Suyan say, try your best to stay at home. Because if you come, maybe it's not coronavirus. It's normal flu. You can also pass on the flu virus. And it seems flu kill more people than coronavirus. The only thing that you have to be careful is coronavirus. Once you kena, the spread is very fast. Understand? So not until the vaccine are found, not until when more and more of these people recover from it, then they have the immune system. They have the antibodies to fight this. So now, the fastest way is they go and take the blood of those who recovered and they inject it into those who are confirmed positive so that they use that one to build up like a vaccine like that, to help them recover. So China is doing a lot of this thing. Even the genetic sequencing, they did it very fast. Immediately they notified the world, they share data with the world. Then people contribute. Don't go and panic and simply say things. Especially now it has become like a phobia. The moment somebody put on the mask, achoo, everybody panic. You go into the lift, everybody come out. So they say, you are a Chinaman nowadays, you want to jump the queue. Like today, I heard KFC 1 hour queue. You go and sneeze. Straight away, you reach the front. But these are not the way you should do. You should keep hygiene. Means what? Protect yourself and protect others. Like the Buddha teach mindfulness. With mindfulness, you protect yourself from evil, from committing the evil action, speech and thought means you need to be mindful, heedful to keep your precept. So through protecting yourself, you protect others. Understand? When you protect yourself, you can keep your precept, you take care of your karmic nature. Then you don't break the precept. Because you don't break the precept, nobody get hurt because of you. Even you yourself also don't get hurt. Because the one who break precepts are evil people. First precept, they kill you, harm you, hurt, violence and all those things. Even second precept, stealing, cheating, deceiving. So whoever who break that precept will cause problem to people, suffering, misery. Then somebody sent the video. How many of you saw that video? There was an owner of a very nice car. I think from the window you can see inside there got handphone, got laptop and all those things. Then I think the door was not locked. Then there was this guy who is, I think, quite miserable, quite poor, can't even have proper meal and all those things. He went near the car, he saw the thing. Then he just sat there next to the car for many hours. Do you know what was his intention? His intention is to wait for the owner to come back before people steal it where he's around there, so that he can tell the owner, next time you have to lock your car. Don't allow this thing, because this thing is very important. Well, your laptop may have a lot of the information that you need. Then there was an owner, suddenly he came back. But because he's a simple guy, at first he suspect this guy for up to no good. So he purposely came to the car and asked him, what are you doing here? And then he came out. He pointed to the car inside. Oh, he said, yeah, got laptop, got handphone. Why not you take and go to the don't know what shop? He said, opposite there, you can sell $1,000 over US easily. Then he looked at him like, need money, you are a poor guy. He said, no, I will never do it. He has such good heart. No. He said, I don't know. In the laptop, there may be very important information that he needs. If he loses it, not only the cost to him is nothing, because he can drive such a nice car, but the information may be very important. Sometimes the video he take or the WhatsApp photo, family photo and all those things has a lot of meaning to him, and it's worth a lot. I mean, not money wise. Then he said, the handphone must have the record of the family member and all those things, important contact, business contact. He must not lose this thing, he said. I cannot do it, he said. Although I'm very poor, he said, I really need money. So finally, the driver was very good. He suddenly told him, he said, I learned a lot from you today. You are such a nice person despite your condition. Then he told him, I'm actually the owner of this car. I felt very, very honored to have met you. Why not we do it this way? I give you $500 US. Straight away, you can go and have your meal. And this guy was such a nice guy. He said, no, I got no reason for taking this money from you. Even though this $500 is going to last me a long time. But I can't. But that is the way he felt about things. That's why he's so poor. Understand? Then this owner also very good. It's okay, because people like you are very rare. If something I can do to help you, I would really love to help you. Because you could have taken my thing. And like you say, I'm going to curse and swear and become miserable over what happened. But you didn't. You somehow waited for me to come and make sure everything is safe and back in order. Then only you want to make your way away. So for doing that, is it I feel that I need to really help you. I learned so much from you. So the moral of the story is very simple. If you have kindness and goodness, if you develop the right understanding, you protect yourself, you protect others, you protect the world. That's what Dhamma is all about. That's why mindfulness is the same. When you are mindful, heedful, you can understand truth. You can understand real Dhamma. And it can transform you and change you. And you will become a completely transformed living being. And Dhamma is just simple thing like that. Mindfulness, awareness, to observe yourself, to observe others, then become sensitive towards others. Otherwise, the evil will come in. The selfishness, the greed, the envy, the jealousy, the hatred. Then when problem come, fear, worry, anxiety, panic. That is not the right way to understand things. That is not the Dhamma way. So this understanding is very useful. Yeah? So just now we were at note 2. Huh? You must have the Dhamma. Huh? You must overcome evil with wholesomeness. That's why he said we must cultivate a pure stream of pure love and compassion, born of wisdom, to clean our heart of all the evils, destructive tendencies. So this is very useful. Then what I want to share with you is, we are the summation of the totality of the beings on this planet. So if you got one virtuous thought, one virtuous being, it can actually bring forth the causes and conditions to help slowly transform the world consciousness. So this part is very important. So note 3 is about that. A single good mission or deed of a virtuous being can help transform millions of living beings to be virtuous beings. We should not underestimate the power of a wholesome thought or a virtuous thought. That's why you must always arise this love, compassion, gratitude, and contentment. These are very important virtues, even respect. Then mudita, sympathetic joy. Then last Tuesday class, if you have listened to the sharing, is very good. Queenie and Alicia, they both share very good Dhamma. That's how they learn, they transform. So Alicia also went to India. But this trip, she was like full of gratitude, full of contentment, appreciate a lot of things. You go and listen to the Tuesday class sharing, it's very beautiful. And because of that, she got no problem on this trip. At first, a lot of people tell her, wow, your condition like that. Last time, even normal spiritual trip, because of his the stomach condition. She will vomit and throw out a lot of things. Then oily food also cannot. Last time at one stage she even go completely vegetarian. But he got to find her way out because it was coming early on. Then this time, after the cultivation has transformed her, she becomes so different now. She got so much gratitude and contentment towards all those people who have helped provide her with the food. They stay at this Thai temple, I was told. And she said she really have a lot of gratitude towards all those that helped to provide the condition for them to have the food and all those things, the accommodation. And they were so friendly. And he was so contented. That also my wife gave her that type of sauce. He said, simple food like one egg and a bowl of rice make her feel so good. She was full of joy, gratitude, and contentment. And with the sauce, she ate and no more problem. The whole of that 2 weeks, I think. She was no more problem. But quite a number of them fall sick. Some even got problem, accident, or something. So, these are the understanding that you will develop, your mind become different. So when you have love and you have contentment, gratitude, your mind state becomes so different. She used Mandarin, say kan en, kan en. She full of gratitude towards almost everybody, whomever she can be aware or mindful. Then that compassion, that gratitude, that love just arise, and there is so much joy. Then the mind state becomes so different, and because of that, I think it helped her condition. And she didn't, like most people, have a lot of expectation, and maybe looking forward to, wow, spiritual trip, I'm going to India, Buddha Gaya, the place where the Buddha get enlightened. First thing, I must experience the strong energy and all those things. I must meditate, I must have the goodness. She don't have any of those things. She's just mindful, aware, sensitive. Develop all those virtues. And she got so much joy. She becomes so different. And even when she came back, she said, Vatio, nothing happened. I'm not only fine, I'm really good. And Mifo also told me, he said, Sui Anne, he is not sick at all. They are okay. Yeah, they were concerned that you all may scared. They not turn up because they just came back from India. Luckily not from Wuhan. If they come back from Wuhan, you think tonight got 10. But why you worry? That's why the Dhamma way is what? The statistic already so low. So if you don't take care of karma, then maybe you will be one of the, they say you must be very lucky to meet one. Because it's like the chances is more difficult than buying the right Toto number and get it strike, you know. Because that one, 4 digit, 1 in 10,000 only. Right? Yeah? This one, 1 in don't know how many million. No? The whole of Malaysia, 30 million, you only got 22 confirmed case. And all, almost 17 recovered. Only 7 more inside the head. And all from Wuhan come back one, the quarantine over, all clear, can go back. So no need to panic. Take care of karma. Karma will take care of your life. Then maintain hygiene. Your motive should be protect others. That's why you need to protect yourself. You need to wash. You need to keep yourself in the best of health. So you don't feel good, then maybe see a doctor or what. Then make sure it is normal flu. Normal flu also better stay at home. Otherwise you come can be contagious. But if you want to come, can put on a mask. Okay? So we will see you on the mask. But most of us are okay. I didn't see anybody has symptom. Sui An was suggesting take temperature. I didn't want to comment. No need to go to that extent. We cultivate, we maintain our own discipline. So we can actually take care of ourselves, and because we have understanding, we will also take care of others. So you do your duty. So if you are free, help Sui An to clean up all this railing, doorknob. But okay, because they were not around for so many days, so they also had to clean it. I think the temporary maid will come and clean. Then I saw in the toilet, God, you can wash your hand down there. They had 2 bottles, hand wash and the other one, I don't know what is that. Both also hand wash, I think. Before? In the toilet one. Okay, number 4. Instead of seeking help outside, like asking for blessing from the Buddha and Bodhisattva through our affinity with their nature, it is better to seek. Seek where? Nobody reading? Seek where? Seek within. Understand or not? Seek within your mind field, your heart, to realize the truth and the enlightenment. That is so much better. Otherwise, a lot of people are like, they go for spiritual trip and all those things. They call it pai pai for. You go and make offering, pay respect, expect return on. Pusa pao you, for pusa pao you. Not to say you cannot request for blessing, protection, and guidance. You can. But develop the faith, the understanding. When you have faith, you create affinity. Then you do the right thing. That merits will actually translate into friction or wholesome karmic conditioning. Then you will receive all these things naturally. But if it's regarding protection, blessing, and cultivation to go the Dhamma way, then you have to seek the great beings' blessing and protection. Then guidance, these three things. Because they have that nature, that perfection of wisdom and virtue, and that one can really help. So, self-cultivation, developing the Dhamma understanding to transform you is much, much better. Because once you have the Dhamma, your blessing become a field of merits that is limitless. Because without the Dhamma, whatever you do may not be the pure action. It's tinted merit. Like the fifth Patriarch say, don't always go after tinted merit. Go after true merits born of wisdom. He said, waste no time in going after tinted merit. Cultivate your mind, develop the wisdom to awaken so that you don't have to depend on tinted merits. So that one is a very useful understanding. So note number 4 is that one. Number 5, we have to understand the mind first in order to understand Dhamma. So this one is most important. Do you understand this sentence? You have to understand the mind first before you can understand the Dhamma. Because the Dhamma need this mind to realize, to awaken. And mind, you must understand there are two types. One is the mundane mind, one is the true mind. Mundane mind, you use it to live life. You need the mundane life, mind. But to cultivate, you need the true mind. And the true mind can develop the meditative mind. Yeah, your true mind is actually the silent mind, the meditative mind. And that is the mind that can understand, can awaken, can allow you to awaken, to realize the wisdom. And through that silent mind, you can see the mundane mind clearly. Then you can understand who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being, and how your mind get entangled through wrong self-delusion, ignorant. And because of this, you react and you stir your mind. That's how you entangle yourself. That's how the evil roots come to be. That's how you get yourself afflicted, suffering. So number 5 is very important. You have to understand the mind first, the two aspects, in order to understand Dhamma. So when you understand the two aspects of mind, you will know how to train the mundane mind to realize the true mind. And from there, your cultivation can start. Then number 6. After 43 years of expounding the Dhamma, the Buddha expounded the Lotus Sutta and explained that there is only one vehicle and one path, which is the Bodhisattva path leading to Buddhahood. So all this, those who are real cultivators, they will understand. There is only one vehicle. But human beings subdivide Buddhism into so many vehicles. We have the small vehicle, Theravada, or last time they call it Hinayana, the small wheel. Then Mahayana, Maha is big, the big wheel, means the big vehicle. Then you go Vajrayana. What vehicle is there? What is Vajrayana? Tibetan, I know. But what vehicle you call it? I also don't know what vehicle they call it. And the other day is, there was one sister, I think, Joey, Joey Go from Malacca. She got the condition to write to me and request for all my Dhamma book. She wants to read through because she got two books. She was very inspired that by that two books. One is the 75 lesson of the Six Patriarch Sutta. And the other one is Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. Why is it somebody gave this two book to her and she was so inspired after reading that? Because she cannot find somebody to teach her Mahayana. She thought Mahayana very different. She wanted to understand Mahayana. Then later on I say, yeah, I can send you the book through Dr. Jayanta. So after she collected the book from Dr. Jayanta, she wrote to me full of gratitude and thanks and all things. Then he said, I really hope to understand all the Mahayana teaching from your sharing. He said. Then she said she started with Theravada. Then I wrote back to her. I said, rejoice, sadhu to you for your wholesomeness and good affinity with the Triple Gem to have the condition to receive all these books. I said, these books are very, very profound and very beautiful dhammas. I said, do read through it. It can help you develop the understanding. And when after you have fully understood the real dhamma, I say, then you will come to understand Theravada, Mahayana, no different. They are the same teaching. Because truth is, there is only one aspect of truth, no two aspects. The only difference is when people use commentary and teach it in a different way, it appears like very different. In fact, no different. I used to share this at a lot of my classes and even at a retreat. I say, if you can penetrate the true Theravada teaching and realize the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, especially anatta. Anatta is actually very profound. Anatta is equivalent to the Mahayana sunyata, emptiness. And anatta is also the Theravada base of non-self. The Mahayana call it noma wuxiang. So the Mahayana understand the deep teaching straight away. Like Huineng, they take you to the true mind, no thought. But Theravada don't share that one so clearly. We have the Buddha start with normal teachings, the essential Dhamma and all things. He has to slowly through the thought base, right thought, right speech, right action, for right effort, all thought base. Then only finally go into meditation, which is mindfulness. When it comes to mindfulness, no more using thought. But people cannot understand that. Then when you don't use thought, you're supposed to silence your mind to realize your true mind. But that was seldom emphasized in the Theravada teaching. That's why the Mahayana explained it. Then even the Mahayana also, not every teacher or master can understand. Because they like to share that sutta, which is to them is very profound. But if you understand the Theravada teaching, you can also understand the Mahayana Sutta and teaching. Because like this life when I came, I also started with Theravada and nobody taught me anything. Of course I have teacher, but I only listen attentively, then I learn mostly through myself. I got some important pointer spoken to me, but they were not shared to me like what I share with you all. And sometimes they come in different form, different format, by different teacher also. But my nature is different. I can understand very fast because like this life or previous life, my nature share and give very fast. So you have the condition, you can receive and you can awaken very fast. So likewise, when I come, anytime, this form of mind, I will receive truth very fast. I will receive the teaching very fast. Because this is coming. You reap what you sow. The way I give is the way I receive. It's the same. That's how I can understand all this without people teaching me, especially Mahayana Sutta. Nobody really taught me. Yeah. But because I penetrated the Theravada teaching, I understood them. Then I know how to meditate. And my nature is not like normal people, most of them, who are very gullible. They just listen to instruction, then they go and do without understanding. For me, I don't start if I don't understand what is going on. Then the moment I start means I understand. Then I find out for myself. I inquire. Why must I do all this? Why must I not? Why can't I just do what I naturally understand? That's why I straight away relax and wear silent. Then the anapanasati just come. Because past life I did it. Then I went into those state. And nobody really understood what happened. Even I myself also don't understand at that time. But I know it's something very different. So then finally, everything falls into place when my nature connect back. Then I inherited from the past perfection and cultivation. That's how after that I started the teaching because the condition arise. Then after the sharing start in the year 2004, I realized hardly anybody understand what I share. And because of that, I think it took quite a while for this teaching to filter through. Now you see one mass. So they were talking about coronavirus, COVID-19. Go back and listen. Over already. So understanding will allow you to have this breakthrough. Then it's no more about Theravada, Mahayana, Vajrayana. It's about the teaching. Teaching is the same. Four Noble Truths is the same. But whether you understand it or not is a lot of difference. And initially, the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, I think hardly any Theravada teaching talk about it. Hardly. Very few. And most of them who even talk about it or wrote the book, I can recall only two monks. One is Ajahn Sumedho, Ajahn Sumedho, Olongpo Sumedho, and the other one is, I forgot who already, there are two, I think, who wrote about the three turnings. This three turning is actually the original teaching of the Buddha, the first sermon. Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta is in the Theravada Sutta. And the Mahayana actually went into it also. And they emphasize a lot on the three turning. Sanchon Falun. But their description is slightly out. But for those who understand, no problem. The moment they mention it or state it, you will develop your own understanding. So that is the aspect of Dhamma that I want you to develop the understanding. Don't argue with people about Theravada, Mahayana, or Vajrayana. Ultimately, it's just the Dhamma. When you understand the Dhamma, you will understand all the three Buddhist sects. They may be slightly other things, but not important. The essence is the teaching. Okay, then we go to note 7. Sister Karen reported her meditation experience where she was experiencing intense joy and happiness. Bertio asked her, How was she able to be so joyful as reflected by her face during her meditation? Because normally during meditation, I don't look at you all. But then, that day, when I was lying down to do the meditation, I sensed something from that direction. Very soothing type of metta energy. So I decided to come out and see who was it. Then I saw her, Karen, Tammy's mother. Wow, in the midst of meditation, so much joy, so much happiness inside. You can see from her face, that radiant joy and happiness. That's why I asked her after that, and I purposely asked her to share. Then she answered, you listen. He said, Bratio. He said, Sister Karen informed that it was due to her ability to imbue her mind. She used the word. She keep on imbuing her mind. Yeah, that metta book that I told you I'm going to prepare. I use that word. To have such intense, gratitude, and joy and happiness after understanding the precious Dhamma. Because like Queenie, they all, Alicia, they all, their life changed, and they were full of joy and happiness. Then once you have the Dhamma, your virtue will come out by itself. Gratitude, contentment, love, compassion, automatically it comes out. If you meditate, you become more egoic. Please go and check your meditation. You must develop wholesomeness, because without wisdom, there is no true virtue. All this true virtue can only come about when you have the Dhamma understanding. Then when you appreciate, you have a lot of gratitude towards the Buddha for giving us this teaching, which is so beautiful. Then I read on. Sister Karen informed that it was due to her ability to imbue her mind to have such intense gratitude and joy or happiness after understanding the precious Dhamma. Bratio then asked, then said, Sister Karen has developed the gratitude, joy and metta very well, and this can help her do away with all the negative tendency in her mind. Then Bratio advised Sister Karen to continue with her good progress by relaxing more and maintaining awareness. This time they got it right, Koklun. Earlier on was not Koklun. Adam. So this one is very important. I advise her to continue with her good progress by relaxing more and maintaining awareness, because she now should go into the meditation more and more. The awareness will stabilize and eventually transform into equanimity, that is the collected and unwavering mind born of wisdom. The moment you have thought or thought activity, you are not meditating already. Always remember, to be in a meditative state, you must be ever mindful, constantly meditative, heedfulness. Number 8, nature is full of loving kindness. Nature just give and give. The air we breathe, the water we drink, and the food we partake all come from nature. When there is no more negativity, nature can heal itself. See? That's why the doctor also know. You must have enough rest. Sleep. They say when you sleep, what happens? Your immune system go up, do you know? Because you were one Aziza as a doctor, so I think she know. Then somebody was sharing it over the Q&A. So this particular resting is very important. That's why the doctor also know when you got sick or you have problem, they give you antibiotic, send you to sleep. Well, then your body heal. Yeah, this is your natural life force from nature. according to the Chinese medical, yeah, they got this human clock. They work. If you are at rest, means sleeping, your thought not active. But some people cannot sleep, cannot rest. So that's why they don't receive the complete healing process. So it seems if you can sleep well, the clock will heal. They call it the life force. They will go around. There's a clock. They say what time, which organ, what time, which organ. Then they allow it to recuperate. That's how it boosts up your immune system, like you recuperate having the good rest. So to rest is very easy. Go to the meditative state, silent everything, then you really rest. Then it's like you have deep sleep. You relax, maintain awareness, silent. Like just now, very fast I go into that silent, I was so still. Then within, I think, 2 or 3 minutes, straight away, then I saw, not bad, after so long not at Suyan's house, some of you come back, you can still meditate, not bad. Means you have do your homework, done your homework at home. Nowadays, the meditation, I realize you all have improved. Most of you now know how to meditate, which is a good sign. Note number 9. Sister Queenie shared on her recent trip to India, where she experienced a lot of joy without feeling tired. See? A lot of these people experience joy. Oh, because after they know the Dhamma, they're full of gratitude and they know how to live life. You go and listen to Tuesday class, Queenie sharing, very good. Oh, now, no more like last time. Small, small thing also worry. Small, small thing also upset. Now happy, go lucky. So much joy. He live life. He said, why last time so stupid? So after she learned the Dhamma, last time her leg got problem or no, cannot walk or anything. Then she determined to go and train. Now recover. The leg very strong. Then after that, he go on spiritual trip in India. I remember there was one trip, he and Mrs. Ho. Sometimes you see the way they walk, they are fitter than most of us. Then they got good appetite, you know. All the good food, they can really eat. Really eat. And you can see the joy. And Mrs. Ho is 80, you know, or 80 plus already, I think. Queenie also 70 plus. Just look at the joy they have because of the Dhamma understanding. They had so much joy and gratitude and understanding. Then I read on. Brother Teo explained that this is due to her faith in the Buddha. Brother Teo advised Kayamita to have faith in the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. Faith is very important and our own nature. If the Buddha can gain perfect enlightenment, so can we. Always have that faith and understanding. Faith is most important. With faith, the Dhamma will unfold. This is very, very true. Without faith, the Dhamma cannot unfold. Because this is a spiritual faculty. The Buddha was just like us before, as he also started off as a normal human being. We only need to strive on with heedfulness. When we have faith, we can draw and tap the energy of all the holy places we visit. Sister Adeline shared her recent Cameron Highland retreat, where she was able to settle down quickly on the first day. However, on the second day, her mind became dull and she felt sleepy. She then tried to do metta meditation instead and successfully overcome her sleepiness and experienced the spiritual faculties again. Brother Teo advised her to focus on her own understanding to meditate accordingly and not to simply follow new methods or ways that she is not familiar with. Because according to her, she was taught a different way to develop the mind to meditate. And without understanding, she go and follow. And she realized she becomes sleepy and very dull and cannot develop the mind state. Last time, she followed the way that I taught her, relax, silent, aware, very fast, go into those meditative mind state. Then that morning, cannot. Then she also very worried. She tried metta. So metta bring her mind state back. Then I think slowly she go back to her old way. Then she managed to develop the meditative state again. So when you go for new type of people who teach you, you need to understand what they teach. Then don't gullibly just follow without understanding. Otherwise, I tell you, you are going to get yourself into trouble. You mix everything without understanding. Because they themselves also may not have the understanding, and you just follow. So you don't know what you are doing. That is very dangerous. That's why her mind become dull and she felt sleepy. Then after that, luckily she recovered. Then after that, I shared, that is the reason why she felt sleepy and her mind become dull. The other understanding is, just accord and flow with nature's condition, as she cannot be expecting her meditation to be always good or the same. She needs to find out why things change and not to dislike, reject, or resist the bad meditation. Always remember this, otherwise you cannot progress. She needs to stay with whatever mind state she is experiencing via maintaining mindfulness. If you do that, you will go into the meditative state very fast. Then the shift of consciousness will come. When we accord and flow, there is no resistance. This is the most important. No resistance means no mental hindrance. Hence, no thinking, no reaction of mind, and we are in sati. However, the moment we perceive and try to do something via thinking, we are no longer in sati or mindful. Always remember that. Then note 11. Ratio advises us to be wary so as not to be drawn into thought-based meditation. Do not be attracted to the words. Just relax and maintain awareness. The moment we perceive, verbalize, and chatter, we are not meditating. Be mindful of this. I repeat, the moment you perceive, or verbalize, or chatter, means you are not meditating. When you are mindful, you can see all this. When you are mindful, technically you cannot think. When you start to think, perceive, and have a lot of things, you are not meditating already. Do you understand? Just now you meditate that time. Do you know that after that it rain very heavy? Oh, that is the best time to meditate. Then after that, even the time almost up already, still raining. But the moment we start, the rain stops. The chanting. Okay, I read on. Only the silent mind can have the ability to see things as they are, which is not the thought telling us about the thing. Investigate with understanding. Do not be gullible. So, that's all. So, this one is useful for people who wants to develop some form of Dhamma understanding. It will help you. Okay. So, now, 10:10. Still got 20 minutes. Do you have any question? Anybody has any question? Or you want to share your own experience regarding what they have shared. Pass the mic to Adam.
Good evening, Brother Tim. I'd like to share my experience today. Today, while I'm taking one of the meat dish, I suddenly sense that I felt very, very touched. Like all this while we have been eating something, while we cause a lot of suffering to others. So I felt a lot of gratitude, like to the being that their lives have lost just because to provide food for us. So, is this considered one of the understanding we gain if on the way while we cultivate.
Okay. So I will explain to you. But not the way you experience it. Yeah, the way you experience is a conditioned thinking. Because you have been conditioned into thinking that way. You think by eating meat is causing a lot of suffering. Because they have to like sacrifice their life for you to eat. Then you think it's causing suffering and something no good. So what do you have in mind? You think vegetarian is better, isn't it? Yeah, this is something that as cultivator you have to understand. Not until you develop your cultivation to the stage when your understanding is already different, then this understanding will surface and suddenly your nature will know. And it will know how to go through all this. Like during the early days, near to 1989, I remember, after I have developed the understanding and all those things, then the transformation, then very strange, you know, for 3 to 6 months, I don't feel like eating all those things that have meat and all those things. Then I went to the wonton mee shop because I normally breakfast take noodle, especially wonton mee. I like the noodle. So I went there and tell that noodle guy, I said, can you help me or not? He said, yes. What do you want? I said, I want just pure noodle with veg. I don't want the char siu. I don't want the wonton. He said, this is not wonton. Char siu wonton. This is chai min. Then I learned something. Then I felt that when I eat that one, my feels really good. Then I also like. But then, because I was sensitive, for 3 to 6 months I was on that. Then I realized something not right. Well, my body was not built for this type of food. I realized not suitable. Then all of a sudden, there was a deep understanding from inside. Suddenly that nature tell me, you have a vow. You cannot take vegetarian. Is it? You have to go for normal food. And that vow is a very heavy vow, very powerful vow. I vow, my nature vow, whosoever that sacrifice a food for me to consume, I vow to take them all across. That's why because of that vow, I realize my body, this body that come, this life, this DNA cannot. Then I also realized during the early day when people talk about vegetarian better, it cannot influence me. It cannot condition me at all. I just do what I understand. Because to me, it's very simple. Okay? You talk about not eating all those things, meat, gruel, and all those things, cause to kill, and all those things. But you check the reality. Is it true? Is that really compassion? Then what I realized was, they have not developed the cultivation as yet. Their evil roots are still so gross they cannot see. They are still very crude in the way they live life. Hardly have any noble eightfold path factor. Right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. All almost not there. Then they try to be vegetarian, thinking that being vegetarian, they are more pure, understand or not? More compassionate, but they don't cause to kill and all those things. I mean, these are their reasoning. But if you understand, that is good. To your understanding, suddenly you want to do that. It's very good. But if you don't have understanding because your thought has been conditioned, as I say, yours is a conditioned thinking. Conditioned into thinking this way. Then you know what happened? You say vegetarian, make you pure, is that? Then the cow, the horses, herbivorous, they all take vegetarian. They should be sane by now, isn't it? All enlightened. but they are pure vegetarian. But why are they not? They are still animals, understand? Then whatever green they take, end up become what? Meat, fat. And human being consumed. Then a lot of these things now, people may say, yeah, the beef, the cow, the chicken got a lot of antibiotic, which is bad for health. True, I never deny that. But do you think vegetarian don't have pesticide? Cameron Highland is famous for the high pesticide at all. It's not what you eat that make you holy, understand? The compassion has to come from the heart. If you have not trained your heart, train your mind to be sensitive, to be mindful, then whatever compassion you talk about is through your thought, conditioning, not the real one. The real one is after you cultivate, then you suddenly realize your nature will know that you cannot take anymore. Then suddenly you will go vegetarian. Then you will find that your body may be also very conducive. That's why people go vegetarian. That's why Tsuchi, the master, advised people to go vegetarian. Then during Xuan Hua's time when he was alive, I remember, somebody asked him that question. He said, "Oh master," he said, "we all know six patriarchs. He was with the hunters for 16 years, isn't it? He also take rou bian cai, understand? No? Means the meat cooked with the veg, he still consume, understand? No? You know what is Xuan Hua's answer? You have the cultivation of Huining, you can eat anything. Like Chai Kong, can eat go rou. But you don't have that cultivation, I advise you, better avoid. That's why a lot of people, they emphasize on vegetarians because they feel that there's a lot of karmic thing behind. But the Buddha, during his time, you must also understand why he implement the Patimokkha, the monk's rule, in such a way. Devadatta went and see him and asked him to change that rule to force all the monks to take vegetarian. The Buddha refused. Why? It's not what you eat that make you pure or holy or spiritual. He don't want people to be like gullibly think that way, deceived by all these things. The holier than thou type of attitude. Means outwardly you try to tell people, hey, I am vegetarian. No. Means you are more compassionate than others. No. But cultivation-wise, you may not. A person who really eat everything, if he has the mindfulness, the cultivation, he is more spiritual than you. He has more Dhamma than you. That's why the Buddha refused to accept that one. Then the other thing is also to allow more people to have the merits and all those things, because people make offering, pinnapata, all those things. So the Buddha introduced three conditions for the meat that is allowable for monks to receive. They call it the three types of pure meat, san jing rou. First, bu jian sa, bu wen sa, bu wei wo sa. You understand Mandarin? Huh? You don't understand. Bu jian sa means you don't see or witness the killing. Bu wen sa means you don't hear the killing and all those things. Then it's not killed purposely to offer to you. And these three conditions is satisfied, it becomes the three condition pure meat, san jing rou. That's why last time my teacher Ajayantra, when he go for Pindapat, when he see people offer meat and all those things, he will ask, did you buy or did you kill? Did you specially kill and prepare for him? If you say yes, he will not take. He said, sorry, I can't take this. You have to offer something else. So monks who go by this, they really observe. So the reason why the Buddha doesn't want to insist is during that time in India, most people are poor, understand? And they don't have specially vegetarian food for you. When you come door to door, arms round, whatever they have, they will offer. And as a monk, you cannot be choosy, understand? You cannot have discriminative mind and all those things. That's why this Pindapada, arms round, is a synergy, and also to allow the monk to train their mind, to develop the training, to be mindful, to be aware, to be humility, yeah, to observe humility. Because very few people can go and they call begging, understand? It's not really begging, it's actually arms round. They offer condition for people to make offering. Means you offer your arms. And it's a synergy because they are worthy of the offering. That's why you have to meditate as a monk and cultivate to be worthy of offering. Worthy of respect. Worthy of all the four requisites. So those are the understanding and the synergy. So when lay people make offering, they receive a great feel of merit if that monk is well cultivated. So those are more important quality than whether you take vegetarian or you don't take vegetarian. It's the individual's decision through an understanding. Do you understand? When you do understanding, that is meaningful. It is really meaningful. And different people have different reasons. Like my case, because of my vow and my state of this body that I come, this life, segmented life, my nature knew, cannot. That's why after that I revert back. Yeah. That's why you see me going on the spiritual trip. Most of the Kayapta know what I like to order. What are the things I like to order? Ching Yap will know. So, all this understanding you must have. It's not to say, I really want to eat all those things. No, because every one of us have certain type of preference. Because since young, I have this condition to receive all this. Then, the way I taste food and all those things, the body has been used to those type of food. So because of that, my nature will know. If there is condition, I will order. If they don't have, it's okay. I can even change. Then sometimes they request a certain day, like Choya Samma, they want vegetarian, especially Pamasuri Deo. I agree. I said, no problem. That's why in our spiritual trip, we have vegetarian lunch, sometimes dinner, sometimes whole day at the temple, also vegetarian. Then your Cameron Highland retreat, 9 days, very good organic vegetarian. High quality organic food. You know why? All the people who actually send the food to the temple, they want to make offering and donation. Then they always send the best, no pesticide or those things, to the Sampo temple. Then sometimes the kitchen people, they know one. We have our group, I think they know us already. A lot of things happened during the earlier retreat. Sometimes you won't believe. Before we arrive for the retreat, Teng Siong Sufu, they will tell us, bring more warm clothing, very cold at night, every day raining, cat and dog and all. The moment we arrive, the rain all stopped. The weather all very good. And for 8 days, didn't rain. No. The last day on here, at the closing ceremony, start to rain. And rain very heavily. So. Then the next day, go back, no rain again. And it happened for 2 years consecutively. Then there are many things that happen and they know. And do you know what they did or not? I didn't even know until later on they tell me. They say there are a lot of lay people who wants to make offering to you all. No. They purposely go and buy all those things. Oh. The what? Kam chair or what chair? Kim lan chair. Kam lan. Kam lan chair. And even turn to, and once the word go out, people will send. Oh. That's why we have this type of gratitude towards them. We every time use the reflection card on the table to reflect and thank all those people who have helped out to prepare for the food, donate for the food, and make all this food available for us. Then we reflect on the food. We supposed to take it with understanding, not out of greed, not out of lust or desire or craving. But we need it because this body needs food to sustain ourselves so that this body can give us the condition to be in a healthy condition to enable us to cultivate better. So don't overeat, don't indulge. But if you need food, go for it. That's why I find out, be sensitive, be mindful. And do the thing that you understand. Don't simply listen to people and be conditioned by what they tell you. Then you try to behave that way. But your cultivation is still so crude. Your mindfulness, understanding of the Dhamma is still very crude. To me, that is more important than what you eat. Understand? You say you feel like compassionate. It's the conditioned thinking that make you think like that. That's why you have to differentiate between the real one. But if you really have that understanding, then one day suddenly inside they tell you, you have to go vegetarian. Because this is suitable for you. A lot of people have to go vegetarian because they are very scared of coming. Which in the past can be very true. You know what happened? In the past, even my mother's time, do you know, it's not so easily available in the market where people queue for you or not. Oh, 10:30 here. I still remember my mother had to go and buy the chicken and raise them. Then have enough egg and chicken for the year. Every year she go and buy and raise them. And these are wild chicken. They know how to go and look for their own food. No need to feed one. That evening time, before the dark, before the day end, they will know how to come back. He got a cage at the back there for all the chicken. I think about 15 to 20 of the chicken. So during that time, you got to slaughter herself. And I remember one day he asked me to help to hold the chicken for her to slaughter. The moment I saw that knife come, I let go of the chicken. I was scolded by my mother. It is so useless. One chicken also cannot hold it. Then I remember what my mother did. He would talk to the chicken before he killed the chicken. He said, chicken, I hope you understand. I raised you since you are a chick until now. Now is your time to offer back the blessing. he said, without intention to kill or slaughter, I will give you a peaceful death. Oh, then she just do it like that. See? In fact, the Muslim religion also has that, isn't it? Must have prayer. Then one chop very fast. Minimize the suffering. Understand? So all this you have to understand. Then only you can have that true understanding to go that way. Then sometimes it may not be suitable because of certain reason. You have to find out. But if your cultivation is not there yet, my advice to you is cultivate first. Because if there is condition to go vegetarian, you got no problem. And Cameron Highland is waiting for you. Throughout the year, you can have vegetarian food. Then a lot of the temple, like what Patnanachat, they are no vegetarian, sorry. What Patnanachat is normal Theravada. Okay, we better end. I hope I answer your question. Okay, anyway, thank you for your question. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us share merits. Then transfer merits. Then you make your aspiration. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana ittavata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo Deo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect to Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end.